Welcome everyone to the Top Producer Podcast. This is Paul Dieffer, your host, and today we're actually going to do something a little different. I retired from CLA at the end of 2022, but I still do some tax returns. Primarily, my son's got me in a bunch of real estate partnerships that I need to crank out returns. And as I think most of you know, this is the height of tax season, and I have not had a chance to do a podcast with a live human being, but we did have the State of the Union address about a week and a half ago. And as part of that process, the Treasury Department issues what is called a Green Book. The Green Book will outline the revenue proposals, both increases in taxes and reduction in taxes, but it outlines their proposals for increased revenue or the revenue for the upcoming budget. Now we know with the fact that the Republicans are sort of in control of the House, I would put quotes around the word control, but the Senate is certainly not quite a deadlock, but pretty close. Likely these major tax increases are not going to happen this year. So why in the world am we doing this webinar then? Well, eventually the progressives, I'm going to use the word progressives, will have control of the House, control of the Senate, and will have control of the White House. Not saying it's this year, but eventually at some point within the next 10 years, likely that will happen. And at that point, a lot of these proposals that we're going to talk about today are going to be passed. Now, will they last for a long time? I doubt it. But it is something that you as a farmer or you as anybody that's listening to this webinar need to understand what potentially is coming down the road and how it might affect you. So what I'm going to do is I'm actually taking the table of contents from the proposal, and I've highlighted about 20 sections or 20 proposals that I want to go over in a little bit more detail. Some of these will have quite a bit of detail. Other ones will be fairly brief, but I'm sort of going in an order of the table contents. Now, the first proposal by the White House is to raise the corporate tax to 28%. The current rate is 21%. For larger corporations, that was a 40% income tax reduction. But for most of our farm operations out there, it was actually a 40% tax increase. Now, the House proposed a couple years ago raising the top rate to 25%. But what I found beneficial about that is the first, my memory is $400,000 would be taxed at 18%, and then it would stair step up from that. And if this proposal would incorporate that, I actually think that would be beneficial to a lot of farm operations to have the first $400,000 taxed at 18%. So we'll see if that happens. Excuse me. Another proposal that actually is, it sounds innocuous on the face of it, but could have negative impact because a lot of farmers are operating as a C corporation, and they want to indicate that any corporate distribution, so a redemption where the corporation is redeeming the shareholder, would be treated as a dividend. Now, dividends and long-term capital gains are taxed at the same rate. How is that problematic for our farm corporations? Well, let's say that dad wants to be bought out and dad decides, well, I don't want to have the corporation pay me all at once. So I'm going to do an installment note for, let's say, $2 million over 10 years at low interest. That's fine under current rules, assuming dad does some other stuff. We can tax that over the next 20 years or however long period, 10 years, 20 years, whatever it might be. And he's only going to pay tax or she's only going to pay tax as dad or mom collects the money. Well, this would say that $2 million note is treated as a dividend, which means dad or mom owes immediate tax at the time that you enter into the contract. So that would not be very helpful. Also, the Republicans, now we'll go back to the Republicans in the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, they actually put in a provision called the excess business loss rules that says if your loss from farming is greater than about these days almost 600,000, it was 500,000 indexed to inflation, then the excess is carried forward to the following year. Well, with farmers, you can carry it back 2 years, but for most taxpayers, it's carried forward to the following year, and it becomes part of the net operating loss, which means you can offset 80% of your taxable income in the following year with the NOL carryover. But what this says is it's going to make, and this rule is now scheduled to expire after 2028. It was originally 2025. It got kicked forward a year to 2026, and then two more years with the IRA Act that was passed, in September 22, if I remember right, Inflation Reduction Act. We've had too many acts in the last 5 years. It would now make this permanent, and the negative is it would make that carryover to the following year not part of your net operating loss, which is nice. It would make it part of the excess business loss for that following year, which means effectively the maximum amount that you can deduct as a farm business loss is $600,000, whatever the number is for married couples. And how is that a problem? Well, let's say you got a farm loss of a couple million dollars, but you have a gain from selling farmland, which in most situations is not considered to be farm income, or you have a gain from selling, you bought Tesla or Berkshire Hathaway, and you got a $3 million gain from that, and you got a farm loss of $3 million, and you thought you could use that as an NOL carry forward to offset most of that capital gain. Well, this would only allow you to offset $600,000. So that is definitely, I think eventually that's going to pass because the Republicans actually like it too. They've wanted to make it permanent to help pay for extending Section 199A and so on. So we'll see what happens. Now we'll dig into what Congress or what the president deems as high income taxpayers, typically between $400,000 and $500,000 of adjusted gross income, not taxable income, but AGI. They would like to, currently we have what's called a net investment income tax of 3.8% that applies to rents, dividends, interest, capital gains. There's also the self-employment tax of 3.8% once you go over a certain level that's applied to farm income, net farm income on Schedule F and wages. However, if you farm as an S corporation or you farm as a what we call a manager-managed LLC, where that distributive income that you earn from farming may not be subject to self-employment tax, what this proposal states is we're going to make, it doesn't matter whether it's subject to self-employment tax or it's subject to net investment income tax, you're going to pay at least 3.8% if your income's over a certain level. And again, it's that $400,000 to $500,000 range, and there's some phase-ins. Now, that would be one thing. And then on top of it, they want to increase that rate. Instead of being 3.8%, they want to make it 5%. And remember, the levels where this starts kicking in with the net investment income tax, which went into effect, my memory is in 2013, it was part of Obamacare, that level has never been indexed to inflation. And this is not going to be indexed to inflation. So over time, what will happen, because right now your maximum Social Security tax is at the $168,000 plus or minus range. But that means over time, it's going to get up to that $400,000 level and so on and so forth. So everybody's going to be subject to some type of, you know, either the 12.4% plus the 5% or whatever it might be. So this could add up to be a pretty hefty tax increase. They want to increase the top marginal income tax rate back to the 39.6%. That's going to happen in 2026 anyway. This would accelerate it a couple of years to this year. However, the major change is on capital gains. Is right now your maximum rate is 23.8%, including the 3.8% net investment income tax. They want to effectively increase that rate to 44.6% on capital gains where your income exceeds $1 million. So let's say you had no other income and you had a $2 million capital gain, just as an example. That million excess above $1 million would be taxed at 44.6%. Then if you happen to live in the great state of California, you're going to pay another 13.3% on top of it. So you're looking at a 60% capital gains rate. Now you're going to say, well, I'm never going to have a $2 million gain from selling my farmland or a $3 million gain from selling my farmland. Well, you're going to find out later on they want to curtail the benefits of 1031 exchanges. So it may end up affecting you. I'm not going to go into the details on this next proposal, but essentially, if you have a large 401k plan or profit sharing plan or IRA, by large, it's over $10 million. You have to get rid of it quicker. So that's all I'm going to say on that. Now, there are some things that would help farmers. If you're a married couple and you have kids under age 17, they would expand, actually under age 18, because they would go back to that $3,000 per child tax credit up to age 17, $3,600 if you're under age six. I think it's under six, could be six and under. They want to make that permanent and full refundability. That is certainly, that's one of the reasons why we don't have the current tax proposal that's in Congress over at the Senate. That's the one major reason why we don't have that passed yet, is they want to make it partially refundable and easier to be refundable. This would be full refundability, and you would continue to get that $250 or $300 per month stipend from the government. They also would like to make the health insurance premium tax credit changes that were made by the IRA Act. They want to make that permanent. That means you could collect a larger premium. You would also not have the cliff where under the old rules, once you went over 400% of the federal poverty level for your area, 100% of that premium tax credit that was advanced when you got health insurance would be fully taxable. You'd have to pay it back. This would have a phase in, so there wouldn't be a cliff. So that could be definitely helpful for a lot of farmers out there that are on the exchange, whatever your state exchange would be. Now there's continues to be talk about a first-time credit for home buyers or renters. We had a first-time home buyer credit about 20 years ago, 15 years ago. Can't remember when, but maybe it was during the Great Recession, which would be about 15 years ago. And then that was phased out fairly quickly thereafter. So that would be helpful, but we'll see what happens with that. Now, over on the estate and gift side, there's one beneficial proposal in that area, and that's they would like to increase the Section 2032 Cap A deduction when somebody passes away owning farmland. Primarily, we're talking about owning farmland. Right now, the maximum reduction you can take is $1.3 million, plus or minus. It's indexed to inflation. They want to bump that by a factor of 10. They want to bump it up to $14 million and then index it to inflation. That means a married farm couple with farmland, you know, right away you'd have a $28 million potential reduction in your estate. Now, the negative, there's some negatives, no step up. So if your heirs want to sell that land, they're not going to get the step up. The other negative is there's a lien that's filed, and you have to keep it farming in the family, and the definition of family can be fairly restrictive, but it has to be farmed in the family for 10 years. And if you bomb it in year nine, you got to go back and pay the estate tax that you skip paying plus interest. And you only get a step up based on the estate tax. So something to be cognizant of. They also want to create more reporting requirements for trusts. A lot of farmers have trusts out there. And if you have more than, I think it's $300,000 of assets or $10,000 of gross income, not income, but gross income, you would have to report your fair market value of all your assets every year. Also, if you have what you call dynasty trusts, where you put land or other assets into a trust for 1,000 years, you know, especially your South Dakota type trust or Alaska, Nevada, and so on, those trusts, currently, once you put it in there, you've escaped estate taxes forever. Well, Congress doesn't like that. So they are proposing that you're going to pay an estate tax on those type of trusts every 90 years. Now you're thinking, well, I'll be dead in 90 years. Well, it's starting in, I think, 1943, 45, somewhere in there. So the first effect where this will go into effect is in the mid-2030s. So that would start applying to a lot of people. Also, if you start gifting anything in trust, or you're gifting an LLC, interest in an LLC or a corporation and so on, they want to restrict the maximum amount that you can gift of those type of assets to $50,000 per donor, not donee. So let's say that, let's take the case of myself. I have four sons. Let's say I had my farmland in an LLC, which I don't yet, maybe I will, but my farmland in an LLC, and I want to give 18 right now. It's 18,000. I think it's not 19. I think it's 18 this year, but it's going to be 19 pretty soon. So I give each son 19,000. What is that? $36,000. My wife does the same. That's 100 and, well, let's just key in on me. Even though I'm under the annual exclusion, the maximum I can give away is 50,000. If I go over the 50,000, then the excess is going to be eaten into my lifetime exemption. Also, any transfer of assets either during lifetime or at death would be subject to a capital gains tax. And there is an exemption. They propose an exemption of $5 million per person, plus, you know, personal residence and your personal property, like automobiles and jewelry and stuff like that would be exempt. We're really keying in on stocks, bonds, farmland, equipment, and so on. So the first $5 million would be exempt. Don't know if you pass away under that $5 million, whether you get a step up or not. So essentially what they're saying, and this is when people used to say, hey, they want to get rid of step up in basis. No, they don't want to get rid of step up in basis. They want to have you pay a tax to get step up in basis. Now that capital gains tax would be deductible against your estate tax. So I guess that could be helpful. Essentially, this would be very similar to the Canadian system. When you pass away in Canada, there's a capital gains tax that you file on your final tax return. That's what would happen here. Or anytime you do a gift during lifetime, if it ends up the cumulative gifts are over $5 million, and I don't think that exemption is indexed, not sure on that, that you would be subject to a capital gains tax. And remember, if it's a large enough capital gains tax, it's 60, including state, it's going to be 60% if you're in California, whereas an estate tax, if you live in California, which does not have an estate tax, maxes out at 40%. So that's something to be cognizant of. There's also talk about limited duration, the generation skipping transfer tax exemptions and so on. That sort of comes back a little bit to that 90-year thing. They don't want that to go very long. Also, they want to revise the valuation discounts that we can take right now when we gift away an interest in an LLC where it's minority interest and lack of marketability. Typically, we can discount that at least 35%, a lot of times 40 or 45%. They're willing to retain that discount for actively farming operations, active businesses, and so on. But anything inside of that business that is cash, not needed in the business, marketable securities, potentially farmland, because they talk about rental property. So if you have an LLC that's got farmland in it and it's being rented over to your son's operation or your daughter's operation, potentially that is going to be considered non-business asset and you won't be able to discount it. So that's something to be definitely cognizant of. And then I had mentioned previously a little bit, you know, hey, I'm never going to have a gain of $3 or $4 million. Well, the ability right now to sell farmland and reinvest it in other farmland, a 1031 exchange, they want to curtail the ability to do that, not eliminate it. What they said, if you're a single taxpayer, the first $500,000 is tax-free. Well, let me back up, tax-deferred. And then for a married couple, it'd be double that or $1 million. They proposed that. I mean, President Obama first proposed that back in 2010, I think, somewhere in that time period. You know, the real estate industry is fairly fairly good lobbyists in Congress. I don't know if this will happen. And does it raise that much money? Yeah, potentially. And then another thing that wouldn't hit a lot of farmers, but it could, like if you own a farm building, a shop, a machine shed, and you decide to sell that down the road, that depreciation, the straight line depreciation component of that building, is subject to a maximum capital gains tax rate of 25%. This proposal would say, instead of being subject to a maximum 25, we're going to make it ordinary income, just like depreciation recapture on equipment. So that potentially would raise your tax from the current 25 max up to at least 39.6% plus the 5% net investment income tax, because that would be subject to that tax if you're at a high enough rate. So that's a 45% tax rate versus the current 25. So that's almost a 20 point increase. So we'll see what happens with that. Also, many farmers out there have participated in small insurance companies, the captive insurance companies. They propose, and they've done this before, and this will happen eventually because there's certainly been some abuses in that area. They are going to now make sure, in order to take advantage of those, the ability to have tax-free income, et cetera, you're going to have much broader diversification than maybe what is being allowed or taken advantage of right now. And then also, if you obtained an employee retention credit, the ERC credit, right now the statute of limitation on that is 3 years. They want to expand that to 5 years. You know, that one, I think, and also increased penalties related to some of those bucket shops out there that have, you know, they've been calling you, hey, do you know you qualify for this credit? Take advantage of it. You're a farmer. The only way you qualified for that credit, in my opinion, and most other people's opinion, is that you had a material reduction in gross revenues during one of those quarters, a 20% reduction in 21, 50 or 80%. Might have been 80% in 20. I can't remember. Can you believe it? COVID is now at least 4 years. The start of COVID is at least 4 years ago. Hard keeping up with that. So that's sort of the major proposals. Again, this is part of what's called the Green Book. As I mentioned early on, none of these are likely going to pass this year, but it would not within the next 10 years. I could see in the right situation that almost all of these proposals would pass. Now, would they last for 5 or 10 years? No, because, you know, what will happen to many people that they didn't, the law of unintended consequences would kick in. The people they thought wouldn't be affected by it are affected by it. And you get a change in Congress, enough of a change in Congress that some of these, but not all, some of these would be unwound. Now, that's just probably less than 15% of the Green Book proposals, but it's the major proposals related to most farming operations. Now, if you farm in foreign countries, there's some potential changes to there. If you have oil and gas property on your farm, or you're an oil and gas investor, they want to repeal the ability to take, you know, depletion, percentage depletion, intangible drilling costs, and so on. Also, they do want to provide more support for low-income housing. I'm just looking and see if I missed anything else that, they want to improve tax administration, want to make some changes on the centralized partnership audit regime, which actually would be helpful because certain things now really are, you know, don't work very well. So those would be helpful. They want to, of course, get more money for the IRS. They want the IRS to go after more taxpayers. They've touted the fact that they've collected more. Well, I don't think they really have, but, you know, they're going to tout it. And then, and some other, actually also modernize some rules, including those for digital assets, you know, cryptocurrencies and so on. Those would be marked to market in some situations, et cetera, et cetera. And I think that is the primary stuff. So again, excuse me, this is just sort of a recap of the Green Book, what's called the Green Book, the revenue proposals, both good and bad, mostly bad for farmers, some good, but mostly bad. And if, in fact, any of these will pass, maybe in the lame duck session at the end of the year, some of these could pass, we will certainly keep you posted. But again, this is the Top Producer Podcast, and this is Paul Niefer, your host, signing off.
How many years away is the long run for a farmer? 5 years? 10 years? Top producers like Hans Reinschi, a Blue Diamond farming company in Jessup, Iowa, know RoboAgri Finance shares his enduring vision for the future.
Whether it's building our grain site or if it's purchasing the next field, we're able to turn to Robo as a trusted partner to help us get financing to make those generational decisions.
With unmatched financial capacity, local relationship managers, and a global network of sector experts to offer market guidance, RoboAgri Finance provides enterprising farmers with a personalized approach to lending and financial services. Growing a better world together, RoboAgri Finance.